Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live with another wonderful story and an interesting something we've never done before. It has to do with trapping memories, and not just memories, but whole eras and reasons for being together. I'm going to go right to my guest, Megan Jones. And Megan, will you please just define what it is you do? And I wonder how you came to this whole world of Polaroid camera love.
Currently I'm a writer and an independent producer, and I just finished making a public radio documentary about how we connect through instant photography, how we connect, how we make art, and that is from Polaroid to Instagram.
Okay, so that's, over time, that's a long span, but over ability to do something, it isn't. It's a short step, isn't it?
It really is. And it's amazing to think about how something we all take for granted now, the phone in our pocket can take beautiful, incredible pictures wherever we are of anything.
Yes.
And how that was all started by Polaroid and their amazing ability to manufacture something that was an art and technology tool to capture moments instantly.
Let's talk about the capturing moments. Can you give us an idea? Well, when was the Polaroid camera brought into public?
1940s.
And so what did it enable us to do that we couldn't do before?
So it used to be that when
I don't know how many people, like there are probably people listening to this now who never saw it and don't know what that means, a Polaroid camera. Would you agree?
Wow, that would be, that's hard for me to imagine, just because Polaroid having such a...
It took over parties.
Incredibly.
Yes, it was part of your social life.
Absolutely, and for a lot of artists, a learning tool and permission.
What does that mean?
Permission in the fact that you could capture a moment, you could make art without outside hands having to see it to develop the film. Because it was darkroom.
Photography as art, that art of photography, yes.
Right.
So when it first came, so tell what it is. It was a camera that was a box-shaped camera, rather large.
Rather large.
Like what, 8x6 or something?
Yeah,
volume.
Pretty big. The first Polaroid cameras actually used roll film. So it came on a roll. And actually, my grandfather, I still have some of my grandfather's roll film Polaroids.
Sure.
That have me and my grandmother in them, and me and my mom and my aunt. And so those were the first. And then the next versions used pack film, which is the kind of film that you peel apart.
Yes, I remember that.
Right.
So let's do the process. You put the film in the camera.
Yes.
And you use it like a camera.
Yes.
And then the magic happens. What do you get?
Right. So, you know, there is something that most people have forgotten now. You have to focus.
Oh, okay.
I took my Polaroid, one of my vintage Polaroids, to a party, and I was passing it around for people to take pictures because I thought they would like that, and realized that nobody was focusing it because they were so
They were just holding and snapping.
So, yes, there's some focusing that needs to be done. You press the shutter, and then with the roll film...
Do you have to hold the shutter for a minute? You can't just, it's not one click?
There's not a lot of holding. You actually, you know, there's an auditory sound.
That's the thing.
Right?
You don't get that anymore.
So you hear the click. And with pack film, of course, and the roll film, you pull it out, right? You have those white paper tabs.
That's right. How did you know when to pull it out?
So the click would happen, the shutter would happen, and then you would pull out a little white paper tab. And
right away?
And then pull out the black paper tab, which has the positive and the negative on it. And then depending, you know, like you would wait 30 seconds, maybe 90 seconds.
But it was up to you to count it off.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And then it would be a matter
of part.
So, and if you took too long, then it would be overexposed.
Sometimes the chemistry is pretty stable, particularly in pack film now. Of course, throughout the years of Polaroid developing and refining their products, there were all kinds of experiments with the film chemistry. So, for example, The shaking of a Polaroid.
Oh, that's what I wanted to. Yes.
Yes.
So I remember that.
In the early days of Polaroid, the first film I think was sepia. Mm-hmm. The next film was black and white, and it wasn't stable. And they got a lot of complaints about the instability of the images. So packaged with each roll of film would be a little vial mm-hmm. of this foul-smelling liquid and a swab. And you would have to swab down. You would have to coat your photo with this
coating.
Yes.
So it wouldn't fade away.
Exactly.
I remember that.
And when you did that, it was wet.
Yes.
So people would shake it to dry.
Yes. So there was a whole ritual.
Yes.
Around, but there was a sound that you waited for. The what was that sound? Because that was so particular, and it was a sound that told everybody, just wait a minute, something good is coming.
Yes. So with packed film, you would pull it out, and you could hear the sound of the film coming out.
Right.
But in later models, Edwin Land, who is the inventor of Polaroid, wanted to refine the film so there wouldn't be any waste.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you peel apart the film, the photo from the negative, there's waste that you have to dispose of.
Mm-hmm.
So he created what was called integral film. And that's the film when you press the shutter, you hear the motor pushing out the photo. And then you wait and you watch the photo.
And there was anticipation.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, this, and by the way, now, of course, with Instagram, there's almost no challenge. There's not as much a participatory moment where you focus and where you wait. It's just instant, which is why they call it Instagram, right? And then you can post it to anywhere in a flash. But it used to be a social moment. Talk about that, like what that meant at a party where somebody would bring the Polaroid.
Edwin Land, who was the inventor of Polaroid, was very committed to the idea of the camera being a connecting experience.
Mm-hmm.
And he visualized this world where you would have this very compact camera with you always so you could capture moments throughout your day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for him, it was being able to capture them and share them.
Mm-hmm.
Either in a one-to-one situation, here mm-hmm. I'm giving this photo mm-hmm. to you, or we could have a shared
experience.
Oh, and
that was quite a gift, wasn't it? Yeah,
very much
yes.
a gift. Or, you know, a couple of people could sit around and watch the photo develop from the chemicals, and
mm-hmm.
just watching it,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing. It turns everybody into a child for a moment. It's really
yes.
nice.
Now, you are now collecting them. What are you doing with these old photographs? After the first time I talked to you, I went and I found all that I could find, and they were amazing because they weren't just photographs. Well, they were never of me because we didn't do selfies. There was no such concept. It was an outreaching kind of a thing.
Mm.
We captured other people's moments,
mm-hmm.
and they captured ours. So it was kind of a more of a sharing started right away.
Right.
Because you were sharing time, and they were, well, maybe all photograph. You know, it was not just a person. It was an era.
I believe that. I believe that. I think it was the beginning of this, a very momentary way of visually connecting with
mm-hmm.
people. I think that's where it started. You know, you didn't have to draw or paint, but this more immediate way
yes.
of being able to visually communicate with people. And part of what I really like to hear about, and what's been such a joy for me in working on this project, is hearing people's Polaroid stories and them sharing their photos, and I particularly like ones that have been written on.
Oh, I have a question about that.
Yes.
Because I am big on, when I give people in Love Letters workshops, I start out and I give them a couple of old photographs, you know, 1920, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. They look at the photograph and the first thing they do is flip it over. They're looking for handwriting. They're looking for the heartbeat. But the backs of a lot of those Polaroids are black. You can't write on them so easily. What did people write?
People write, you know, on the integral film Polaroids, the bottom edge is thicker.
Oh, you could write on the white.
Yes.
Yes, that's what, yes.
And so there was a Polaroid party that one of my friends hosted a couple of weeks ago, and some people brought in Polaroids where they had written the date on
front edge.
I have Polaroids of that I guess my grandfather took of me when I was in kindergarten, and my mom had written on the back.
Oh, so, okay, so back up for just a minute, because I want to know about your grandfather.
Okay.
You had started to say something when we first met about him, and I said, wait, let's just share this. Talk about, you said you found boxes of Polaroids when you were going through what?
So my grandfather was big in photography, which I did not know about him until he already had Alzheimer's.
And oh, but you grew up knowing him.
Yes.
Was he was difficult?
He was a very difficult man. He was a very good man,
mm-hmm.
not incredibly communicative or particularly nice, but very good.
Okay.
And so I grew up a little bit afraid of him, very respectful, very deferential.
Mm-hmm.
And after he started to go, he went into a home. And then particularly after he died, I went through all of his things and found mountains mm-hmm. and mountains of photographs, all kinds, and mountains of letters. And my whole understanding of him as a person
yes.
completely changed.
I bet chills when you say that, yes.
And
the fact that he wasn't communicative, maybe his way to be communicative was through taking the pictures.
Yes, and also through letters. He wrote me a lot of letters. He always used to complain that I never wrote him letters back, and I didn't in when I was a child. And I was so broken to go through all of these boxes and find all of the letters that he wrote my grandmother when he was in the war, all the letters when they were dating, everything. And I had written about, in particular, it was amazing going through the letters because one of the things I found is Thomas Jefferson wrote one of my relatives a letter while he was president. And I was going through all the stuff and I found this letter from Thomas Jefferson and I said, what is this? And my grandmother said offhand, oh yeah, that's Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter. He owed somebody in our family money. Does anybody want Chick-fil-A for lunch? And I just thought, I'm getting this whole different perspective.
Goodness. Oh, that's one of those doorknob comments, you know, that people, as they're leaving.
Exactly.
Well, so what? How did you follow that up? Or did you not? You just had...
Well, I said, can I take it? And my mom was like, oh, yeah, I used to take that to school for show and tell. This is in Birmingham, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm finding it in the china cabinet.
Yes.
And
found letters, by the way, people. Found letters are portals to parts of you didn't know existed.
It was amazing.
Aren't they?
It was amazing. And so I'm the one who's kept all of the photographs. I've got tubs and tubs of his scrapbooks and his photographs. He had three different versions of the Polaroid camera, the roll film, the SX-70, which is the camera that I first fell in love with, and then a later, like a mm-hmm. one-step, you know, the ones from the 80s with the rainbow logo, you know, the big
yes,
black
yes.
ones.
Now, are there still Polaroid cameras
Polaroid,
being made, or they're finished?
They're
aren't
done.
They?
Polaroid as a company quit manufacturing mm-hmm. film and cameras in the early 2000s.
So if you have one of those old ones from the 80s, can you get film that works?
Yes.
Okay, tell.
You can. So if you have an early Polaroid land camera, the kind with the black bellows that fold in and out,
mm-hmm.
That works with Fuji Pak film.
Interesting.
And then the ones like the SX-70 and the ones from the 80s that have the sonar, the focusing mm-hmm. sonar on the top, those use what's called Impossible Project film.
Okay. Give us the website for your work.
Modern Polaroid Love Story.
Let's spell that out slowly, letter by letter, please.
Yes. Oh, wow, this is a spelling test.
Yes.
modernpolaroid love ModernPolaroidLoveStory.com. Modern Polaroid Love Story.
And the reason I have people do that is if you're one letter off or a letter's mispronounced, people aren't going to find you.
Right.
If they Google Megan Jones, they will also get to it?
Yes.
Okay, so just in case you forget or didn't write that down. So they're not manufactured anymore.
Right.
And what was your grandfather like? You talked about that he was not very communicative. And by the way, I think that was true of a lot of men of that era where somehow they, you know, they didn't learn to be, or by nature it's harder for them. And
yes.
What was he like when he was actually taking pictures? Was he kinder? Was he more?
I don't have a particularly vivid memory of him taking photographs, even though they exist, the Polaroids and some of those exist. What I found to be so revelatory was the combination of the photos and the letters that he wrote to my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one in particular that just, you know, spoke to me. Is she lived in North Carolina and would come down to visit him in Birmingham. And apparently they had had some kind of quarrel.
Oh, yes.
And he wrote her and was apologizing for the quarrel and said, but wanted to let her know that he was angry, that his feelings were hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the letter, he said, I wanted to write all this down to you today because I am angry, and tomorrow I will love you again.
Oh.
And this will be done.
Were we talking before? I'm going to, excuse me. Okay. As soon as I stop weeping. We were talking before, and I had said to you, apologies, a beautiful, elegant form of love letters. And you had said that never occurred to you.
That's
but
right.
Apparently it did.
That's right.
It's in your collection.
Yeah.
Yes. If we take a look at our lives, there is nothing that's not worth recording photographically or in your own words. Technology changes. We still have letters from, you know, Henry VIII, what was that, 1540 or something?
Right.
And they weren't love letters. They were kind of death warrants. But still, they still exist, and you can still read them. Sometimes photographs fade. Is there any way you can keep photographs so that they do not fade if you keep them in shady places or cool? I mean, do you know of any ways that will?
I'm sure that if you, you know, found a special archival box and, you know, hoarded your photographs away and special scrapbooks with acid-free paper. But I think part of the charm of these physical things is that they decay.
Oh, that's an interesting point of view. I'm wondering if the decay, because I found a photograph recently, a Polaroid, that was half gone, and it made me think harder about what had been there.
Mm.
And so it drew me into more of a relationship, even than if I had seen the thing and just put it down.
Mm.
What do you say about, why is the charm the decay?
Well, I think with the allure of, or the, you know, the joy and the problem of a digital photo is that it's pretty damn perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can delete it if it's not particularly flattering, right? You can keep it, you can pass it around, you can publish it, and it's really not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a life. Oh,
it doesn't have a life of its own.
Exactly.
Yes.
Only things that change have a life.
It's your servant forever, but it doesn't have a life of its own.
That's right. Uh-huh. And so for part of what I find intriguing about physical photos is they can be lost.
Okay.
And ripped.
Yes.
Or bad.
Yes, or bad. Oh, that's a yes.
Right? Or
yes.
Shared or not shared or, you know, all of these different things. And there's just as much that you can get out of, you know, if you think back about it, cutting someone's head
yes,
out of a
exactly,
photo
exactly.
or ripping it half,
yes.
as you did in taking it in the first place.
So they carry an ongoing history.
Right.
This is a guy you loved in the eighth grade and you would have sold any, you would have sold your soul to be with him forever. And by the time you're 20, you look at this guy and you don't even want his head in your picture.
Right.
Oh, that is, of course, of
right.
course.
So there are all of these different things, and there's a lot of people who do amazing things with Polaroids. Emulsion lifts where they separate the the backing and float the emulsion onto another piece of paper. Oh. There are all of these different things that you can do with these photographs that are just amazing. So they get all different kinds of lives.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So your connection to this is so charming. And so I know it leads to something really deep. And I'm just, what do you want to do with these things? Or are you just enjoying the journey and that is enough to bring people into that?
I'm really enjoying the journey. And I think someone asked me the other day, what did I find most surprising about this project?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what I found to be most surprising is that all of the stories that I've heard
mm-hmm.
are really joyful. And joyful in small ways, like the woman telling me that her main memory of Polaroid is her dentist taking a picture of her teeth and
with
her
a face Polaroid?
With a Polaroid camera when she was a kid, and his whole wall would be uh-huh. lined with Polaroids of all of the kids who, you know,
there is
Graces
something
and
about
stuff.
That.
That's
and,
great.
And each one is a moment, actually, when I think of the Instagram, where we're just going, we're not singling out something as the most special. We're taking 100 of them and then choosing one. It is different.
It is different. And
yeah.
so I love all of these moments. Nobody yet has presented me with something that hasn't been just happy making stuff. And how lucky is that?
Right.
You know,
because that's when
beautiful.
We bring out the camera.
Right.
You know, that's a really good point. I was aware, by the way, of a woman I wanted to meet and didn't get a chance to. And she's a photographer, and her specialty is taking pictures of children who are terminally ill to get that moment ever for parents who are going to... I mean, there's nothing more frightening and horrific. But as a rule, we bring out the camera when we're showing our happiest selves. That's what we want to... And, you know, Diane Arbus does another wonderful job of, but yes, in general, especially the Polaroids.
It has been very, it's been a happy accident,
yes.
I think. And also just being able to connect with people through this physical medium. One of the things that really struck me as ironic is that I got into this here in San Francisco, one of the most tech-savvy
mm-hmm.
cities in the United States, and I'm walking around with a bunch of people carrying these huge cameras where mm-hmm. the film costs like $23 for
wow.
8 shots. And you're like, why am I doing this? And then you're in it, and it's great. You know, when we all get together to go on these instant walks, nobody at the end is like, oh, I took 7 crappy shots. There's none of that.
Yes.
It's the happiness of being together mm-hmm. and looking at what everybody else's eyes see.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And we'll be grateful at some point, like we always are looking back, to those of you who bothered to record eras and moments that might otherwise go by us, that might, you know, slip into oblivion.
Right. It's been amazing. There have been a couple of times where there have been teenagers on the instant walks, and they just... They get a big kick out of it.
Yes. And you don't, by the way, we were talking before, a Polaroid gives you the picture in 60 seconds, whereas if you take it on your digital phone, you have to go through a whole song and dance to get a hard copy in your hand.
Yes.
It takes much longer. So those things that we think are time-saving are really not when it comes right down to what you get for your effort. I want to ask you, who gets your love letter today? Because I've got about 4 of them I'd like to write to your family and people. But what do you think?
I'm wondering if San Francisco gets my love letter.
Sure. What do you want to say?
Coming here from the South has been quite a journey in and of itself. And I think San Francisco, its culture and its... creative and risk-taking spirit has given me the ability to connect with all these people.
Now, I'm interested, when you are writing this, will it be first person? Will it be you and me, or will it be third person like that? I mean, a letter is to someone.
That's interesting. I don't know. When I first moved here, I recorded a piece about kind of breaking up with Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm not so sure if I'm going to stay in San Francisco, so it might be another...
That doesn't mean you can't write a love letter.
Yeah.
And look at it as one of those guys you did not end up getting married to. Sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Where will you mail it? Because love letters need to be mailed and show up someplace.
That's interesting.
They need to be that little jewel on top of your mail pile.
Any ideas?
Yeah.
I would love to hear your ideas.
Well, there's so many things to do. You could mail it to yourself, but with a stamp in your own handwriting.
Mm.
And you could even write to San Francisco, California, care of Megan Jones and at your address. And then open it or do it. You'll see that the you who wrote the letter is vastly different than the you who reads it.
Oh, wow.
It is so worth doing. Mm. And then you just put it in that treasure box.
Nice.
And you might want to do that for a lot of things. You know, in other words, keep a running written record as alongside your running photographic one. But I was thinking also a letter to your grandfather.
Oh.
Yes. Who you evidently still have something to say to let him know the you that you finally saw when you saw all his photographs and letters.
That's a great idea.
Now, do you have other people in your family who remember him?
Oh, yes.
So what if you wrote it? What did you call him?
Pop.
What if you just did a letter? Dear Pop, I'm writing this to you, but I'm going to send it to... And maybe you send a copy to other people.
Yeah.
Because I have some things I want to tell you, things I realized about you that I didn't growing up realize, wish I had, but I want to catch you up with it. And I want everyone else in the family to know about you, the you that I see now, or the you that I got to know. Oh, I think those are just wonderful.
That is a lovely idea.
You have a good time with that as a writer.
Yes, that is a lovely idea.
And then it's part of your family history. And it'll get passed down and found, you know, you talked about found letters.
Yes.
How powerful they are and what an instruction they are on who you are.
Absolutely.
You know?
Because it was a vulnerable side of him that I never saw. I saw his love for my grandmother very much manifested in a different way, in a provider way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So all these things to write down that you see all this about him.
Yeah.
I think it would be wonderful. So one to San Francisco, one to your grandpa.
Definitely.
And, you know, love letters like picture taking. It's not a one-shot deal. You would never take one picture and then put away your camera and say, well, I'm done. Yeah, right. Comical, right?
Right.
Same thing with writing letters. It's a way of life.
Mm.
And if you wrote one a month to somebody, I'm saying that because you are a writer and a person who so beautifully captures moments, you'll have something when you're an old woman to look back on. But so will all the young people in your family.
That's a beautiful idea. I love
that. And strangers in three generations from now. Somebody will find this in a box in 500 years somewhere, and they'll get a PhD out of it.
Yeah.
Your reach will still be important.
That's right.
Oh, honey, thank you so much for doing this with me. I am so fascinated by capturing truths about things that may no longer be true, but your truth once recorded, is always your truth of that moment.
That's right. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we met. I'm going to have to send a dozen roses to Lena Metsisis for introducing us. Thank you, Lena. Okay, until next time, this is Janet Gallen and
Megan Jones
saying goodbye. And please remember that if you think you need to have a special occasion to write a love letter, that writing a love letter is a special occasion. And so, by the way, was taking Polaroid pictures at parties. It was a special part of the evening. I'll get the Polaroid.
Absolutely.
And then starts a whole other leg of that celebration.
Okay.
Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you later.